Shalom Aleichem. Last week before Purim, we were learning the Gemara of Megillah on Chavav on the base. Just to review again, the Gemara tells a story that there was a shul with a room next to the shul, and the door was opened. Well, there was no door to close in between the shul and the side room. And someone died in the side room, and the body was there. A dead body is mukta on Shabbos. So they left it there, and the Kohanim wanted to go into the shul to be able to duchen. So what kind of an etzer can they do? That's tumas ohel. There are three kinds of ohel we mentioned briefly. One ohel, when I put my hand on top of a body, I am mahil, part of my body is mahil on top of a mace. Another case of oil, I'm sitting outside under the sky, and they carry a mace above my head. The mace is mahil on top of me. And that's closer to maga. When the mace is on top of me, or my hand or my body is on top of me, I jump on top of the mace. That's considered closer to maga. And then there's what we call oil hamshocha. I am under a roof, and the roof extends, and the other end of the roof, there's a mace under it. So that's oil hamshocham. So all three are considered oham. So here, there was a mace in the side room. The Kohen wanted to go daven in the shul, but the doorway was open, so the tumah goes from one room to the other because there's a roof that connects it. If there wouldn't be a roof connecting, let's say you have two buildings, one next to the other, and there's a hafsaka of one tefach, let's say five of 2 inches in between the two buildings where there is no roof. Even though we might think that there's a din of lovewood, whenever things are within three tochim to each other, considered lovewood, as if they're touching, but the Gemara says that by tumas meis, we don't apply the din of lovewood. Gemara and Sukkah, lovewood doesn't make it that it should be considered as if the two roofs are touching, and the tumas mace continues from the mace to the kohen in the other room. Only if there's mamash a roof. Let's say you have two roofs that overlap on two different levels. Sometimes you have near a hospital. I remember they once showed me the hospital in Los Angeles, the Jewish Cedars Sinai Lebanon, I think, hospital. It's a whole gigantic city block there. And they had the morgue. They had a morgue in the basement. And the building, the roof of the building protruded more than a tefach. You have the building comes to an end, the hospital, and then the roof protruded a tefach around the whole building. So the tumah, the dead bodies were in the morgue, but every so often they would open up the door to the morgue. So even when the door is to take out a mace, to take him to be buried, even when the door is closed, that's called soif tumah, Lord says. Since we're going to take we plan to open the door later on. If and when we open the door, the tumah will go out from inside the morgue to outside where the roof of the hospital protrudes around the whole city block. So Alpidinikonim couldn't enter the hospital. They weren't allowed to enter into the hospital because Thomas Mace went around and around. It was a simple solution just to make a separate roof. As you go out from the morgue, a separate roof, so the tomb only goes over there. It doesn't go under the higher roof. So after a long while, they finally solved the problem. But there was an issue. So the issue was, not only could you not go around the roof, you couldn't even go to the parking lot, because there was a roof on top of the parking lot so high. And the roof about around the building, so the one, there was overlap between the two. So even though it's not one ohel like this, it's not one roof. The two roofs are not connected. One is overlapping over the other. That's called chodesh, even if it's not overlapping. If one is exactly next to the other, and and the top one is at least a tefach al tefach. It's more. Let's say the roof on top of the parking lot is more than a tefach al tefach. It's gigantic. They don't want their cars to get rained on. So I said, Chavit Rami. I consider it as if the two roofs are on the same level and as if they're touching each other, if they overlap. Yeah. If it's Tokim or Tokim, they don't apply the din of lovers there. So that's a din. And two masnaises say Chavit Rami. So here, that was the problem. The Kohen wanted to go into the shul on Shabbos, and the mace was in the side room. So there's an oil hamshacha, the tumas hamace goes into the shul, they can't go in. So Rava, they asked Rava a shayla. So Rava thought, mistakenly, that they have a wooden Oren Kodesh, which they never move. Then he found out that is not true. Every so often they would move the Oren Kodesh with the Sifrei Torah in it. But Rava thought that the Oren Kodesh was gigantic, machzik mem soa. How much do you need to be machzik mem soa? The Marsa mem soa is the shear for a mikveh. Unless a person is a giant. And he can't, if he's a giant, he can't fit into mem soa, different story. But if he's not a giant, any normal, average-sized person can fit into mem soa. Even if you just have to be titled a baby, the baby doesn't need Memsoa to cover Maim Shul Kol Gufa Ela Bevarasach. That's Halacha. You always need Memsoa. So the Gemara says, how big is Memsoa? Am Alama Berum Gimalamas, 3 cubic amas. So the Gemara has this. You have a wooden, let's say I have a bookcase, and it's a very tall bookcase and it's a very wide bookcase, so that if you would measure from the outside of the bookcase, the thickness of the walls of the bookcase also count. If you have 3 cubic amas, considering the inside of the bookcase, and the bookcase is wooden, so that's creates habba mida, a gigantic mida gedola, creates habba mida, means that it's machzik memsoa, and it's not mitalta mali berekon. It's so big that they usually it just sits there, creates osri lenaches. It's built in order to sit. Like I have bookcases full of swarm. I never move them, unless I have to move all the swarm out. But the bookcases are gigantic. So the din is kliyetz habba mida, is not mekabel tumah. So Rava thought that the Oren Kodesh stays in a mizrach vant, and they never move it. So it's a kliyetz habba mida, so the din is it's not mekabel tumah. So let them move the Oren Kodesh on this one occasion. Let them move the Oren Kodesh in between the shul and the side room, and block up the opening, so then the Tumas Mace will not go from the side room into the Shul Kohen will be permitted to go. So the Gemara says, why do you need that? It should be a Kliyetz Abod Bemida, because Dov HaMakabal Tumah and a Chaitzitz Befnei HaTumah. It can only be Chaitzitz. We're talking about the Tumah going horizontally, from the side room into the Shul horizontally. So if the thing that's Mafsik is a Kli Mateches, let's say you have a file cabinet that's made from metal, and it's a gigantic file cabinet, more than machzik memso, more than 3 cubic amas. But if it's made from metal, then it is mekabel tumah. Let's say I have an airplane, or an automobile that's machzik more than memso, but it's made from metal. So metal is mekabel tumah, even if it's above meter. It's only then kliyetz, based on psukim. So if you have a kliyetz, that's matzik memso, it's not mekabel tumah. So therefore, it'll block the tumah. The tumah will only go till the Oren Kodesh that's blocking the way, and won't be able to go through into the shul. If the din would it be the kliyetz, would have been mekabel tumah. So then, how can it be chaytzitz b'fnei tumah? The tumah goes into the kliyetz. The kliyetz is mekabel tumah, and then the tumah can go further. The kliyetz doesn't prevent the tumah from moving. If the kli itself is mekabel tumah, but Rava thought that this Oren Kodesh always sat in the mizrach vant, he thought they never move it. So he thought that it's kli etz habo b'mida, it's not mekabel tumah. So dovish ain't mekabel tumah, it can be choytzitz b'fnei tumah. If it would have been mekabel tumah, then it's not choytzitz b'fnei tumah. So then omrulai, then the Gemara continues the story. Omrulai rabbanu the Rava. Rabbanu means the talmidim. The talmidim brought to Rava's attention, no, you're making a mistake. This Oren Kodesh doesn't sit all the time in a mizrach. Every so often, it has Sifrei Torah in it, and they'll carry the whole Oren Kodesh, and they'll move it from one location to the other. Maybe it had wheels on the bottom, maybe it didn't have wheels. It doesn't make a difference. But it's not clear. It's also lenaches. Also lenaches means that it stays there. It doesn't move. It's not mitalta mole bereka. So when the Talmidim brought to Rabbi's attention that the practice was every so often they would move the Aron Kodesh, not once in a Yovel, when someone died in the side room and they want to block the door. On this one occasion, no, every couple of days they would move the whole Aron Kodesh for some reason or another. So then Rabbi says, Amalahem. So Rabbi told them, we have it missing. By us it's missing. They add two words, Amalahu. So Rabbi told the Talmidim, if that's the case, then my suggestion is not a valid suggestion, because the Kli Eitz, even though it's Bob Amida, but it's not Osir V'Nachas, it doesn't sit still. It is Mitaltel, so therefore it's Mekabel Tumen, and Dovah Mekabel Tumen is not Kli Eitz, it's Bifnei Atumen. That's the Gemara. This is a big Shaila. Let's say Kohanim want to go on a flight to Eretz Yisrael. So, rive of the flights that are going to Eretz Yisrael, I think a rove of the flights have Mason going. So if you don't know one way or the other, unless you checked it out in advance, you should assume, you should go bus road, the rove of the flights will have a Mason. The Mason are in the cargo section, which is below the floor of the passenger section. So would you say that the floor is choytzeitz b'fnei atuma? So the tuma only, tuma's Mason will only be in the cargo section. It won't go up to where the passengers sit. So that's the question. The floor, the whole airplane is made from metal. So Kli Mateches, there is no din that a Kli Mateches that's gigantic. The airplane is much more than Machzik Memso, much more than Amalama Brum Gimlam, is more than 3 cubic amas. But that din is only by Kli Eitz above me, the wooden Kli, made from metal, then it's Mekabel Tumah, even if it's a gigantic Kli. The only Shaila is, if it's Mekabel Tumah, if the floor is made from metal, then the floor is Mekabel Tumah. So it shouldn't be Chaitzis Bifnei Tumah. So wherever the mace is, the Tumah will go directly up. Tumah will go up. And then you have, it won't be Chaitzis Bifnei Tumah. And then the roof on top of the passenger section will spread the Tumah. It'll be maybe as a Tumah. To the front of the plane, to the back of the plane. Let's say the mace is in the cargo section below the floor of the passenger section in the middle, right in the middle. And the kohen is sitting in the front or in the back. He's not sitting directly above the mace, but it doesn't matter. The roof on top of the passenger section will be maybe a satuma to the front and to the back, because the floor can be choitzes b'fnei atuma, because it's a kli mateches above the mida. Kli mateches above the mida is mekabel tuma. Unless you say a chiddush, what kind of metal is the airplane made from? So now they make airplanes from aluminum. Years ago, aluminum didn't exist. They didn't know how to separate the aluminum from the iron. But now they figured out they're two different metals. So the Tiferes Yisrael has a commentary on all of Shisha Sidri Mishnah. So the Tiferes Yisrael on the Shnai's Kalim quotes from the Bir HaGrof, from the Vilna Gaon, that the Chumash lists off six different metals, kalim, kli, it doesn't say kli mateches metal, it says kli ach, zazob, hasakesab, hachoshes, abdil, vahabarzal, vahoyfaris. It lists off four different metals. So the Tversa quotes the name of the Vilna Gaon. There is no general din that all metal kalim are mekabel tuma, only a metal kli, it's made from one of those six. Zov, Kesef, and Nechoshes, Oferes, and Barzel, and I forgot what the other one was already. Bedil. So, aluminum is not one of the six. So according to the Vilna Gaon, an aluminum airplane is not Mekabel Tumah. Only those metals that are mentioned in the Chumash are Mekabel Tumah. Tiferes Yisrael Mishnayis was a big Talmud Chacham from Germany. It was the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Akiva Eiger was in the early 1800s. And so he quotes this from the Gra, and he begs to disagree. He says he doesn't think it's correct. The Pashto says that the Torah is just giving six examples. Lead and so on. These are examples. If you have other kinds of metal, they're also makabel tumah. But that's somehow became more popular in our generation. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky, both of them also thought, without quoting either, they didn't, neither of them quoted not the Vilna Gaon and not the Tver Sola Mishnayis, but they both thought that maybe only the six metals are mekabel tumah, and maybe since the planes are made from aluminum, maybe they're not mekabel tumah. It's not mekabel tumah, then the floor that separates between the passenger section and the cargo, which is below the floor of the passenger section, would be able to be chotzitz b'fnei tumah, so the tumah wouldn't go up. The only shaila is that that's nicha when the plane is standing still. When the plane starts to taxi, before it takes off, first it taxis on the ground. So that's called oil zaruk, an ohel that's moving, an automobile, or a bus, or a van. That's called oil zaruk. So what's the din of oil zaruk? So there are two Tosfos shows, Tosfos in Gittin in the first parak, Tosfos in Erevin talks about this. There are two kinds of oil zaruk. One oil zaruk is an airplane that's flying in the air, or you have someone hung up their laundry on a clothesline, and the laundry is flapping in the air. It's not nowhere near the ground. If you have an automobile, or you have a van or a bus with the wheels on the ground, that's one kind of oil zaruk. If you have a sheet hanging in the middle of the air that doesn't have any part of the sheet is grounded, none of it is on the ground, that's mokal. So Tosfos says that there are two kinds of oil zaruk. They show from Gemaris, they interpret. If it's an oil zaruk, that's an automobile that's moving, so it's not an oil to be chotzitz b'fnei atuma, but it is an oil to be maybe a satuma. It is an oil to be maybe. So when the plane is standing still, so let's say, you'll say, like the Vilna Goyen, that in Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Kamenetsky, that aluminum airplanes are not mekabel tumah, fine? So when the airplane is standing still, the Goyen is not in violation of anything. If he walks into the passenger section, because the floor is chotzitz b'fnei atumah. But then when the plane starts to taxi, that is an oil zoruk, so that's Mishnah. Oil zoruk is maybe, it's an oil lahachmer, but not lahokel. It's an oil lahoviyas atumah, but it's not an oil lachzotz b'fnei atumah. So once the plane is going to move, it's going to taxi on the ground, so then the roof, let's say the koyin is sitting in the front of the plane or the back of the plane, and the mace is in the middle, in the cargo section, in the middle. So the floor of the passenger section is not chotzitz b'fnei atumah, so it's considered as if the tumas mace goes from below to above, because it's not chotzitz, it's moving. But the roof on top of the passenger section is an oil to the medias atumas. Even though the kohen is not sitting directly above the mace, he's sitting in front of the mace, or be further to the back or further to the front, the roof on top of the passenger section will be maybe a satuma. Then when the plane takes off and it doesn't have the wheels on the ground anymore, then the din is, Tosfos shows from the Gemara, is that kind of oil zoruk, that's mamish talas hamanaf nefes bo'avir. You have a sheet that's hanging on the clothesline and it's waving in the wind, and there's a mace on the one end of the talas and a chai koyin or anybody on the other end of the talas. So that talus is not maybe a satuma, not choitzis b'fnei atuma. That's an oil zoruk lagamre. It doesn't have a din of oil at all. But till the plane takes off, first it's going to taxi on the ground. So when it's taxiing, so then you have that in-between stage, that it's an oil obvious satuma. The roof on top of the passenger section is maybe a satuma, and the floor is not choitzis b'fnei atuma. So at that time, the claim will become tied. That would be a violation. I'll be pashas. That would be a violation of the din of Tumas Koyhanim.
Don't they use a special box to put the Aron in to prevent the Tumah from going up?
They use a special box, yes, but it's questionable whether that helps. There is a Tesis in the end of Masechus Shabbos. The Tesis holds Beferish that it doesn't help. Tosfos holds that it doesn't help. Why the Meiri says that it helps? What's the issue? Oil zaruk is, see, in the airplane, the passenger is in one place and the mace is in the cargo section. Passenger is in the passenger section. And when the plane takes off, everything in relationship to everything else stays the same. That's like you have an apartment building, and there's a mason in one apartment, and a client in another apartment, and the whole building is flying in the air. So the Meiri says that's not called the Ol Zarik. Ol Zarik is an airplane is going over a cemetery. There's no mace on the airplane. The airplane is going over a cemetery. Or the airplane has a mace and someone down below is a chai. So you're talking the chai and the mace are two different places. But the Meiri is of the opinion if the mace with the koyen, with the floor, everything is moving, and everything remains in relationship to everything else the same as it was in the beginning. The whole time, everything stays the same. It doesn't have the dinim of Ol Zarik. But Tosis also the Feirish not so. Tosis in Shabbos talks about a boat that's moving on the water, and the mace is in the boat, and the kohen is in the boat. They're both in the boat. And Tosis still holds it as a din of Ol Zarik, even though they're not moving away from each other. Everything stays in the same location in relationship to each other. Still has a din of Ol Zarik. So some are makel based on the Meiri, but usually when there's a machlokes between Tosfos and the Meiri, we would ignore the Meiri. The Chachmei Provence had different traditions, everything very different from the other Rishonim. Yeah. There is, even if one should assume that, like the Teferis Yisrael HaMishnayis, that even other metals like aluminum are also in the Kabbalah, like not like what they quote from the Vilna Gaon, and Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Yankee Kamenetsky, even if we assume that that aluminum is Kabbalah, there is a day in the Rash that Dovaham Kabbalah and Chaytzis Bechnei Tuma. What the Gemara said over here, that the Talmidim told Rava that this Aron Kodesh is not Kliyetz Aser Lenachas. It doesn't sit quietly for the last 10 years in Mizrach. Now, every couple of days, they move the Aron Kodesh around. So it is Mitaltel, so therefore it is Mekabel Tumah, so therefore it's not Chodesh, it's Bekneh Tumah. So what kind of Chatzitza, Bekneh Tumah, are we talking about over here? We're talking to prevent the Tumah from going from the side room into the shul. The two were adjacent to each other, and there was an opening in between. And so they moved the Aron Kodesh to be chotzeitz. Tumah shouldn't go horizontally from one room to the other. What if you're not discussing chotzeitz b'tnei tumah, horizontal tumah, you're talking about vertical tumah. Here they have the floor that separates in between the passenger section and the cargo section below it, and the maces in the cargo section. So even if one should assume, like the Tiberias Yisrael, all metal kalim are mekabel tumah, even if it's aluminum, a metal that's not mentioned. That all the chumash they didn't realize until recently that aluminum is a separate metal, different from iron. It always used to come together with the iron. So there is a day in the Rash that since you're worried about tumah going from the lower level to the upper level, so even though the Limateches is Mekabel Tumah, it's still Chaitzitz Bifnei Tumah. The floor of the passenger section will be Mekabel Tumah, and the whole plane is one big Kli, so the whole plane will be Tomei, but still it's Chaitzitz Bifnei Tumah. The Tumas Hameis will not go up into the room where the passengers are. That's one opinion in the Rash HaMishnayis. So Rav Moshe Feinstein mentions that. It's a question whether we should pass him like that or not. That's a balates. That's not a Meiri. That's a balates. The Rashi Shans is one of the balates. So that's a question. It's really highly questionable. It's really a problem. If a kohen wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, and you think there may be a mace, right, of the flights to Eretz Yisrael and all the famous airlines have mason on them, so then it's not really right. The coolers are really very questionable. It's not right. A fellow once told us that he was driving on the lower level of the George Washington Bridge at 2 o'clock in the morning, and there was a hearse bringing a mace from New Jersey to New York. That's bechlala yotzim and a klal ruba de ruba. the Mason go from New York to be buried in New Jersey? And who drives a hearse at 2 o'clock in the morning? So he says, from that, he's a Kohen, this fellow who drove with Paul, he's a Kohen. From that time on, he never goes on the lower level of the George Washington Bridge, because the floor of the upper level is an oil for the lower level. It's a roof for the lower level. So even though he's in an automobile and the windows are closed, but we assume the automobile is a Mekabel Tumah, it's a Kli Mateches, it's Mekabel Tumah, and a Dor HaMekabel Tumah, and a Chotzitz B'fnei HaTumah. Or even if you'll say that aluminum is not Mekabel Tumah, even if you hold aluminum is not Mekabel Tumah, but he's moving in his automobile. So his automobile is an oil zaruk. The oil zaruk, that kind of oil zaruk, where the wheels are on the ground, and the train is moving, or the automobile is moving, that oil zaruk, the Mishnah said, it's an oil lahachmer lahavias hatumah. It's not an oil lahakel. So lahachmer you don't need, because you have the floor of the upper level is the oil for the both for the hearse and for the kohen, the both. And the fact that their automobile is closed up, even if you hold that aluminum is not Mekabel Tumah, even if you'll accept that it's aluminum kalem, I'm not Mekabel Tumah, but here it's an oil zark, it's moving. So the automobile that the Kohen is sitting in is not protecting him from Tumah. So Dov HaMekabel Tumah, Nechoitz is Bifnei HaTumah. Because you're not talking about one level on top of another level. You're talking Tumah going horizontally, not going vertically. So when the Tumah, that's like they move the Aron, Robert told me they should move the Aron Kodesh to block the entrance in between the side room and the shul. So the Gemara said if the Aron Kodesh would be Mekabel Tumah, Dov HaMekabel Tumah is not Chotzitz Bifnei HaTumah. We're talking about the Tumah traveling horizontally, going from the side room into the shul. If you were talking about Tumah going vertically, the lower level, the mace is in the lower level, and the coin is in the upper level, so then there was an opinion in the Rash Mishans on Mishnah Yisraelos that even if the floor is Mekabel Tumah, even if it's Kli Mateches Mekabel Tumah, but it's still Chotzitz Bifnei HaTumah. So that was 2 days, but over here it's a Tumah going. So you say from that time on, he never goes on the lower level of the George Washington Bridge between New York and New Jersey. He's always afraid there may be a mace. Probably, if you work out the probabilities, how many mason are there every day, how many minutes are there in the length of the day, and how many minutes does it take to cross over the whole bridge? Once in a while, in the morning, in rush hour, it takes 35 minutes to go over the George Washington Bridge. You always announce how much of a backup is there. So sometimes the mace will be there for half an hour. Usually, they'll go across the bridge, it'll take 2 minutes, the whole thing. So probably the roiv, the likelihood probably is, you can probably go, but the likelihood, I would guess, likelihood is that the roiv is that there is no mace. At any given time, there is no mace. You have to find out the information. When do they normally travel with mason? Yeah, a lot of times if there's a funeral and that the hearse is taking the mace from New York to New Jersey to be buried there, they shouldn't go on the, if it's a from Chevra Kadisha, they should insist to take the mace on the upper level. Shouldn't take them on the lower level, because all the Kohanim will be there. There may be mitame, maybe some people driving cars are Kohanim, so they're going to be mitame then. They should be careful only to go on the upper level. On this Gemara, we mentioned last time that we learned, on this Gemara, there's a big discussion in Tosfos, in Bava Basra, Daf Chof, and the last Mishnah, Masechah Shabbos, and in Perakira, in the beginning of Sukkah, the story goes like this. The first Mishnah in Sukkah says that the Schach has to be minimum of a 10 Tfachim above the ground. If it's below 10 Tfachim, it's not a comfortable, it's not a normal Beis Dira. And the sukkah has to be a normal Beis Dira. However, the Mishnah quotes a machlekes of Yehuda and Chachamim. What if the schach is so high? It's lemaila me'esri mama. That's very, very high. Lemaila me'esri mama. So we pasken against Rabbi Yehuda, Yochad, Rabbi Malachi, Rabbim, we pass in that if it's sukkah shigvoila mile mesem ama psula. If the schach is more than 20 amas above the ground, it's no good. But let's say it's 21 amas above the ground, and he wants to raise the ground level. So he takes five mattresses, and he puts one on top of the other, on top of the other. And even if he's going to go to sleep on the top mattress, he's going to sink in a little bit. But he put 5-10 mattresses, so the top of the uppermost mattress is within 20 amas from the schach. So the schach is not lemaila me'esra ma'ama from where he's going to sleep. Do we consider the top, have the pile, let's say, of the 10 mattresses, one on top of the other, on top of the other? Do you say that that's the ground level? The top mattress is the ground level? So the schach is lemato me'esra ma'ama, so it's good? Or do you say, no, the ground level is the ground? So the Gemara says it depends how long does he plan to leave the mattresses there. If he's only going to sleep overnight there, and when he wakes up in the morning, he's going to put all the mattresses back inside the house, so then he only put the mattresses there temporarily, so the mattresses do not blend in to become part of the ground. So then we say the schach is still a maila miyashramam. Even though he, lemaisa, is going to be sleeping on top of the uppermost mattress, and that's within esra mama to the schach, but the top of the uppermost mattress is not considered the ground level. To be considered the ground level, he has to plan to leave the mattresses there permanently. That's a Gemara Suka. Davdalit, the beginning of Suka, Davdalit. So the Rishonim have a machloikis. What does it mean permanently? How long does he have to plan to leave the mattresses there? Indefinitely? Or for half a year? A long, long period of time? Or do you say the whole duration of Sukkot? The Sukkot is not relevant after Sukkot is over. From the perspective of Yontav Sukkot, if you plan to leave the 10 mattresses there in the same location till after Hoshana Rabbah, till we sit in Sukkot Shmini Atzeres also, Sveika D'Yoma, so if you put the mattresses there until the end of Yontav, so from the perspective of Yontav Sukkot, it's Bitloy Lomis. I plan to leave the mattresses there for the whole duration of the Yontav. So that's Le'elam Void. Maybe that's good enough. So that's a Machloikas, the Ran on the Rif and Rashi. That's a Machloikas HaRishayim. That's one Gemara. So then there's a similar Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Yud Tesson and Beis, Daf Chofam and Aleph. I think that's where it is, about Rokik. There's a din, let's say, there's a mace in one room, and there's a wall, and there's a door, and the Kohen wants to be in the next room, and there's a window in the door. So and the window has no glass. So how big does the opening of the window have to be that the tumah should go from one room to the other? So the Mishnah says in Aholos, the biggest chumrah is going to be if it's a tefach al tefach. You don't always, it's not always enough a tefach. Sometimes you need an opening that's more than a tefach al tefach. But to make sure that we don't make a mistake, so we always say, if you have an opening, a tefach al tefach, between the room where the mace is and the next room, the tumah will go through. You have to have a chalon. So let's say you have a chalon that has a tefach al tefach, and there's a mace in one room, and the tumah will go from one room to the other. But then you put a latke in the window, so the window had it, the open window had exactly a tefach al tefach. Now you put a big fat latke, so the opening is less than tefach al tefach. So is that memayit bechalon? So the Gemara says rokik is the latke, rokik ain't memayit bechalon. Why? He only put the rokik there permanently. He doesn't plan to leave it there. He only put it there temporarily. He doesn't plan to leave the rokik there permanently. The Gemara says, how can it be memayit bechalon? But the rokik is the royal kabal tuma. If it's royal kabal tuma, dova mekabal tuma. And a choytzitz b'fnei atuma. The Gemara says the rokik is nifsam me'achil asodom. Ochel me'mashkem aron me'kabel tuma. If it's meichel adam, if it's meichel behemah, let's say the horses eat hay, or the cows eat hay or grass, that's meichel behemah. So for Shabbos purposes, meichel adam, meichel behemah are also not mukta. But for kabbalas tuma purposes, it has to be only meichel adam. Chol Michael, Asher Yochel, B'chol, how does it say? Asher Yochel, Mashka, Asher Yishase, B'chol Kli Yitmo. has to be by l'achilas sodom. Why did I make a connection here? Because the Gemara has the din called the tikkun rabbanon came the raisa tikkun. All the dinim the rabbanon are pattern after dinim the raisa. So the din lemamukza, the chachamim wanted to prohibit handling anything on Shabbos. You're allowed to handle, let's say, svarim, forks and knives, clothing. I go to sleep at night. I take off my clothes. I put on pajamas. I wake up in the morning on Shabbos morning. I take off the pajama. I put on my clothes. So they really wanted to prohibit handling anything on Shabbos because you may forget and carry out of the house. Hoitzah out of the house is also. Hoitzah in the house is not hoitzah. It's mutta. So they really wanted to prohibit handling anything in the house. But that would make life impossible. He wouldn't be able to eat food. You can't handle the food with your hands. You have to allow people to have a fork and a knife and a plate. They're normal things. A chair. You can't move a chair. Everything. So they said, whatever has hishtamshus, whatever is a davar chashuv that people are going to need to use, the chachamim felt they have the right, based on the pasuk, v'shmartam es mishmarti, is the concluding pasuk in Parshas Achrimos. And the Tanoim understood from that pasuk, the opening Mishnah Pirkei Avos said, Moshe kibbel Torah miSinai, Sora the Yeshua Shuvah Zkenim, Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, Heimam Mishlosha Dvar. Anshei Knesset HaGedolah had three mottos. So one of the mottos was, Asei Siyog LaTorah. They made many, many, many gzeiros during the Baisheni period. That's when Ruba the Ruba of the Xeris were made by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, Asei Siyog LaTorah. So all the Xeris have to be patterned after Dinam Deraisa. So if they're going to prohibit handling anything on Shabbos, it's going to make life impossible. It's going to be miserable. You're going to have to go to sleep with the same clothes and wake up with the same clothes. You can't do that. So they patterned the dinim of Muktzah, the whole institution of Tilta Muktzah, is all that the Rabban Gzera Shema will carry into the street. That's what the Gemara says. So we're afraid. We don't allow them to handle junk in the house because we're afraid they may carry it into the street. Well, whatever is not junk, that's So they pattern, the Gemara says in Masechus Shabbos, the 24 prophets in Masechus Shabbos, and Perek Kol HaKelim has all the dinim of Muktzah. The Gemara says on the first daf in Kol HaKelim that the dinim of Muktzah were patterned, not 100%, were patterned after the dinim of Kabbalah's Tumah. There are four categories of things that are in Kabbalah Tumah. That's the first daf in Bava Kamma. Od Mekelim, Ochlam HaMashkim. The Adam is Mekabel Tumel only if it's a Jewish person. A Nochri is not Mekabel Tumel. Kelim, there are some Kelim are not Mekabel Tumel. Klei Glolim, Klei Adoma, Klei Avonim. Stoneware is that stone plates are not Mekabel Tumel. Klei Adoma. Klei Adoma is a Klei Cheres that they didn't bake it. Once you bake it, you put it in a kiln and it makes it into a china dish. Then it's Mekabel Tumah and doesn't have any Tara. But if you make Klei Adoma and you didn't bake it after you finished shaping it, then Klei Adoma are not Mekabel Tumah. So true, there are Kedem that are not Mekabel Tumah, but they didn't say any Klei that's not Mekabel Tumah is Muktzah. They said all Kedem are not, all Kedem, even if it's not Mekabel Tumah, is not Muktzah. Ochel Mamashkem also, strictly speaking, only Michael Adam and Mashke that's Roy Lachila. The Shtiya Sodom, Mashke Shishose, is Mekabel Tumah. So Midi Rabbanan, but Michael Behema is not Mekabel Tumah. Hay, a bundle of hay that's Roy Lachila, the Behema will enjoy it, is not Mekabel Tumah. But for Shabbos purpose, they said, even if something is only Michael Behema, it's also not Muktzah. So basically, the laws of Muktzah were patterned after the laws of Kabbalah's Tumah. Well, not 100%. Not 100%. That's called the Tikkun Rabbanan. Okay, the Raisa Tikkun. So the Gemara says, if you have a window, again, there's a mace in one room and there's a door separating between this room and the next room, and you have a window that's open, has no glass in the window. Window is open and it has tefach al tefach. So tefach al tefach is maybe a satum. If the opening is less than tefach al tefach, the tumor will not go through from one room into the other. So let's say the window, the opening in the window is exactly tefach al tefach, and someone left a latke there. So now it's less than tefach al tefach. but he's not going to leave the lot. Is he not? He's not going to leave. Is he going to leave the lot there permanently? If the lot is edible, then it's Michael Adam. Then it's Makabel Tuma. Even if it's trace, but a goy can eat it. A goy can eat it. So it's Makabel Tuma. If it's Makabel Tuma, Dabar Makabel Tuma and Echoitz is Befnei Tuma. So the Gemara says, let's say, is the rokik memait b'chalon anah? So the Gemara says, if you put the rokik, the latke, in the window temporarily, you don't plan to leave it there indefinitely. So then the Gemara says, it's not memait, it doesn't blend in to be part of the wall. And I say the opening in the wall still has a tefach al tefach. If I plan to leave it there permanently for a long, long time, then it blends in, the rokik, the latke, blends in to be part of the building. And I say, the opening, the window doesn't have a tefach hatel, so the tuma doesn't go through. So these two gemaras are saying the same thing. The gemara in Bava Basu Dav Chot by Rokik Enem Emayit Bachalon, and the gemara in Sukkah Dav Dalet, that the fellow, his chachu lamayla meshem, he has a stack of 10 mattresses, one on top of the other, he's going to sleep on top of the top mattress. So do you say that the ground level is just made higher? The ground level is no longer where the ground is, but the top of the 10th mattress is the ground level, and that is chach is within 20 amos to the ground level. So the Gemara says it depends. Does he plan to leave the mattress, the 10 mattresses there, temporarily or permanently? Sure. So just like this, the machlekes by Sukkah, Rashi and Iran, what do you mean he plans to leave the 10 mattresses there permanently? Permanently means for half a year, indefinitely. Permanently means kol yimei hachag. Maybe from the perspective of Yontav Sukkahs, the shaila is whether the Sukkahs l'malam eser mama. So as long as they plan to leave the 10 mattresses there till Sukkahs is over, then from the perspective of Sukkahs, thus hastily are on void. So the same would be by Tumas Meis. Let's say the mace is on Shabbos. Someone died on Shabbos. Shabbos, the mace is muktzah, so you're not going to move the mace. So we move the Aron Kodesh. We move the Aron Kodesh to block the way. So if we don't plan to leave the Aron Kodesh there permanently, we're going to put it back in the Mizrachban. It doesn't belong over here in between the two rooms. The opening was always open in between the two rooms. They're not going to leave it there permanently. So maybe that's a mechleg and rishainim. How long did Rava plan to leave the Aron Kodesh there? Did he plan to leave it there half a year? Tyson says it doesn't sound like it. It sounds like they're not going to leave it there permanently. So some rishainim say, as long as you leave the Aron Kodesh there, calls mancha haneshom, from the perspective of Tumas Meis, it's li'ol and void. Just like on Sukkahs, from the perspective of Yontav Sukkahs, if I plan to leave the 10 mattresses where they are till the end of Sukkahs, from the perspective of Sukkahs, it's li'ol and void. So if I plan to leave the Aron Kodesh here until the Chevra Kadisha takes away the mace on Metzoy Shabbos or on Sunday morning, whenever they're going to come, so calls mancha haneshom, I'll leave the Aron Kodesh there. So that's called the Yol and Void. So that's a machlokes harishayim. The same machlokes by Sukkah is a machlokes by the mace. Is it enough? Kol yimei achag. That's called bitul olamis, the Yol and Void. From the perspective of Yontav, it's the Yol and Void. And from the perspective calls mancha neisham, from the perspective of the tumas mace, you're going to leave the Aron Kodesh there to separate between the shul in the Andrunya, the room next to the shul, calls Manja Neshom, that's considered the Aron Kodesh. The Mishnah Berurah writes Lahakel. Mishnah Berurah usually is Machmah on everything. Over here, the Mishnah Berurah is Noita Lahakel. Why? So he has a Shtikol Torah, an original, doesn't quote, he has his own Shtikol Torah. He says the whole requirement, this whole din that appears in the two Gemara, the Gemara in Sukkah Dav Dalet, the Gemara in Bavet Basra Dav Chof, by the Rokik, the same din that if you're only leaving the thing there temporarily, it doesn't blend in to be part of the ground, it doesn't blend in to be part of the wall, and if you leave it there permanently, then it does blend in. So he thinks that the whole din You have to plan to leave it there permanently. The whole din is only a chumra midirabon. Then a Torah, it's good, even if it's only there temporarily. How does he know? So the Bir Halacha, he comes up with a chiddush. He quotes a Gemara in Erevin. If you have a bore, let's say you have Rishus HaRabim, and someone dug a bore in the middle of Rishus HaRab, so the bore is 10 tefachim deep, it has walls, and the floor of the bore is dalal al dalal tefachim. So the Gemara says, if you have a charitz, you have a dig a bore in the middle of Rishus HaRab, Rishus HaRab, all around the highway, the ground level is in Rishus HaRab, but the bore is a Rishus HaYochid, because it's 10 tefachim deep, so the walls of the bore are like mechitzis. I'm in a room now that has walls around it. So you have walls around the room. The room has to be a minimum of dalal. I have more than dalal amos or dalal amos. I have much more than that. All you need is dalal tvachim. My four tvachim is floor. Then you have to have walls around it. So you have the walls. You have avir inside, and you have avir on the outside. I have the walls of the building. So I'm in the room. So the avir between the walls in me, and then there's avir on the outside. If you dig a ditch in the ground, you only have avir in the ditch. On the outside is all atum. It's all afar. It's all the sand and the earth is there. So the Gemara said, that's a good mechitza. So the Gemara has, what if I have a bor b'shus harab? So the bor has the status of b'shus hayochid, if it's 10 tefachim deep. So all the walls are 10 tefachim tall, and the floor is dal adal tefachim. So that's, those are the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid. Then I take apples and I fill up the whole board till the top. So let's say I fill up the board with water. So we can't walk on water. Magen Mishnah points out, you can't walk on water. So the ground level of the board is considered the floor of the board. You don't say the top of the water. The top of the level of the water is the ground level. You can't walk on water. The Avodah Zarah claimed that Yoshke walked on the water, whatever. But normal people can't walk on the water. So the ground level is, if you would walk on the water, you'd fall down to the bottom. So the bottom of the bor is the ground. So even though it's filled up with water, the bor retains the din of Rishus HaYochid. But what if you fill up the bor with oranges? Or you fill up oranges at Beit Moshe. Let's say you fill up the bor with apples. So a heavy person, so the apples have got a little crushed in. So it's going to push down the level of the apples a little bit. But it's still, you're not going to have 10 tefachim deep. Let's say you fill the bor till the top with apples. So the Gemara says the bor no longer has the dimensions of a Rishus HaYochid. It has a floor, the top of the apples is the floor, because if you walk, the floor will go down a few inches, a heavy person, so it'll go down a couple of inches, but it's still not going to go down 10 tefachim, not going to have walls 10 tefachim tall. So you'll have dalal al dalal, the top of the apples will be dalal al dalal tefachim, but the walls will not be 10 tefachim. So the Gemara says, if they filled up the bor with apples, even though you don't plan to leave the apples there permanently, but kozman that it's full of apples, the bor is no longer a Rishus HaYochid. So the Mishnah Berurah is bothered with Akasha, but he only put the apples there temporarily. He didn't leave it there permanently. So why does it lose its din of Rishus HaYochid? It should still maintain the status of Rishus HaYochid because it doesn't blend in to be part of the ground because you're not going to leave it there permanently. So he claims, you see from that Gemara, that Menatari, even if you put it only there temporarily, it's still considered. The ground level is on top. And these two Gemaras, the Gemara in Sukkot Daf Dalet and the Gemara in Bava Basra Daf Chaf with the Rokek, these are only a Chumra Midrabbanan. So since there's a Machlokes HaRishayim, whether it's enough to be Mevatel the 10 mattresses, Kol Yimei HaChag, or you have to be Mevatel it Olamis, you have to plan to leave it there for half a year, a very long period of time. It's a machlokes on a din de rabbanim, he says. The whole din is only a din de rabbanim. You have to plan to leave it there permanently. Since only with rabbanim, so he thinks there's room to be makom. I think there's room to dings up with the right. Came up with the original chiddush, the Bir Halacha came up. I didn't think he can prove from Hilchos Shabbos to over here. I wasn't convinced that over here it's only a din d'rabbanan. By Shabbos, I understand. If there's no mechitza, you don't have mechitzas. So it can't be Rosh Hashayachid, even if it's only temporarily that you don't have, because the ground level is the top of the apples. If you filled up the board with water, then the ground level is the bottom of the water. If you filled up the boar with apples, the ground level is the top of the apples. The Magen Mishnah says, like, if someone will walk, if he's walking on water, he'll be walking on the floor. He's not going to keep on top of the water. But if he's going to be walking on the apples, so the top of the apples is the ground level. I didn't think it was such a good ride. So that's a kasha that Tosfos asks. Rava recommended over here in our Gemara, the Kohanim wanted to go to Shul, to Daven, to Duchan on Shabbos morning, but there was a mace. Rava said, move the Aron Kodesh. Rava thought incorrectly. He didn't know the facts. He thought that they never moved the Aron Kodesh. He thought the Aron Kodesh is it cleates ha'osel l'naches. It sits still. It doesn't move. So since it's cleates ha'bob emida, gigantic, machzik mem soa, a lot of times the Aron Kodesh does have 3 cubic amas. Like a lot of times a bookcase has 3 cubes. You don't have to necessarily be able to inscribe a cube of Amo Alama Burum Gimalamas. I mean, the sum total of the whole depth and the whole height of the bookcase, including the thickness of the walls, adds up to 3 cubic amas. You don't have to be able to inscribe the 3 cubic amas. If sum total 3 cubic amas, that's Kleitz Abod Midas Rabba thought that they never move the Aron Kodesh. Then the Talmidim brought to his attention, no, every so often they do move it with the Sifrei Torah in it. So then Rabbi said, if that's the case, Lo Epsha, then my Eitzah is not a good Eitzah. So the Tosfos raises a question, but he didn't plan to leave the Aron Kodesh there temporarily. He's only going to leave it there a little bit for a little while, a day or two. Not going to leave it there a half a year. So how would this solve the problem? The Gemara said it's only memayit and the rokik is only memayit and the chalon if you're willing to leave it there permanently. But here he's not going to leave. He's going to move the Aron Kodesh back in the Mizrachman. They want to face the Aron Kodesh and face Eretz Yisrael when they daven. So they're not going to move the Aron Kodesh to be in between the shul and the side room. But this is the kasha that Tosfos asks, and the other Rishonim ask. So one answer that they give is, like the Mishnah Berurah paskens la'alacha, if you plan to leave the Aron Kodesh there, calls mancha hameisham. So from the perspective of Tumas Meis, it's le'olam void. The Aron Kodesh is blocking the entrance le'olam void, because le'olam void means calls mancha hameisham. So the Chevi Kadisha, they're not going to move the Meis on Shabbos, it's muktzah, going to move the Meis after Havdalah, after Amatzai Shabbos, they'll take the Meis away. After they take the Meis away, then they'll move the Aron Kodesh back. But calls mancha hameisham, their Aron Kodesh will be blocking the way, so that's called Oilomis, Titl Oilomis. That's the Mishnah Berurah paskens like that Shita. The Mishnah Berurah said the whole requirement for leaving it there permanently is only a Chumr Midrabbanon, so therefore, and it's a Machlokes HaRishayim, whether it's enough, Kol Zman Sheha, Kol Yimei HaChag, or you have to plan to leave it there permanently, so you thought Sveka Midrabbanon L'Kuli. It could be Mekel that that's enough. So that's one answer. That's one answer. And then Tosfos gives another answer that's quoted halacha lemaisa in the Shulchan Aruch. Tosfos quotes Rabbi Natan, gives another answer that goes as follows. The Gemara says, Rokik einam en mait b'chalom, is talking about you have exactly tefach al tefach. You have a chalon. You have a chalon that's a tefach al tefach. So that's maybe a satumah. The tumah will go from one room into the other. So the Gemara says if you leave something there temporarily to block the window, then it's not memayit in the chalon. So Tosfos says that's if you only, they quote Rabbi Natan, that's if you only, there is an opening. The opening used to be a tefach al tefach, not because you have a rokik. So a rokik that's not makabel tumah. If it's makabel tumah, it's not chaytis b'fnei tumah. But I don't plan to leave the rokik there permanently, just for a short period of time. Then it's not memayit b'chalon. Well, what if I block up the whole window, the whole opening of the window, which was a tefach al tefach? I block the whole thing up temporarily. And right now there's no opening at all going from one room to the other. So then the Rabbi and Tam says, so there's no place for the tumah to go through. You have to have at least an opening. You see, by us, we don't have, I'm sitting in a room that has a door, separate, has two doors, separating between the kitchen and my study and separating between the hallway. But because there are carpets in the hallway, so the door doesn't reach down all the way to the floor. So the all of our doors don't always go all the way down to the ground. If it go down to the ground, it would scratch the floor. It would rip the carpet all the time. The doors, they always cut off the bottom inch or so from the door. Whenever you have a door separated into one room and the other, you can always put an envelope under the door. A lot of times people come from Zucca, so they leave an envelope under the door. And there is a little bit of space. There's an 1/18 of an inch. There's a 1/10 of an inch there, the way they can put an envelope through. So the door, the opening of the doorway is more than tefach al tefach. But the door is closed. But the door is not going to be there permanently. We're going to open the door sooner or later. We're not going to leave the door closed, Le'olam Void. But even when the door is closed, there's an opening on the bottom. On the bottom of the door, between the bottom of the door and the floor, there's always a little bit of empty space there. So that empty space is enough for the tumah to go through, because there's a big opening, and the door is not there permanently. The door is going to be opened and closed. So if you have to have a chalon of a tefach al tefach opening, that the tumah should be able to go from one room to the other. But if you say some legamrei, the whole chalon, you saw some everything legamrei, then there's no place for the tumah to go through. But if you only memayit b'chalon, so then you have the din, you have to plan to leave it there permanently. If you're only going to leave it there temporarily, then it's not memayit b'chalon. But if you leave it there temporarily, and you saw some legamrei, so then the tumah has no place to go. You have to have an opening so the tumah should be able to go through. So that's quoted, that Rabbi Natan is quoted la'aloch in Yeridaya. In the end of the Yeridaya, they have all of Hilchas Aveilus, but they have a few simonim of Tumas Kohanim. So they have all these dinim. It's very relevant. When a doctor has to, when a Kohen, let's say, goes to visit, a Kohen needs some medical treatments, he goes to the hospital. It depends what kind of chodim do they have in the hospital. So a lot of times you have a cancer ward. If you have a cancer patient, it's probably one of the patients probably will be a goses. So in the Gemara Nozir, there's a machlokes Abaye v'Rava, where the Kohen and the Nozir, they have the same dinim. A Kohen and a Nozir are not allowed to be in contact with a mace. The Kohen has a head to go if it's one of the seven relatives. It says, L'chos ha'psilu she'lohoi se'liyish, lo yitama, we pass when it's a mitzvah, lo yitama choyvo. It's a machlokes ha'tanayim, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. There's a machlokes generation after generation. There's not a bias, there's a machlokes. And the Pesach always was like Rabbi Akiva's Shita, that lo yitama is a chayva. So even if the Kohen doesn't want to be mitame, mitame also bal korcha. It's a mitzvah to be mitame the Kohen if one of the seven relatives dies. But if it's not one of the seven relatives, then not allowed to. So what if the person is a goses? He's not a meis, a goses. Like the Mishnah says, a goses kachai. What is the definition of a goses? A goses means the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah is on a holos. Perek Aleph gives you a definition. He says, a goses is a person in whom tahalich hamoves has already set in. He assumes that death is a process, tahalich. That's the Hebrew translation. I don't know the Arabic, but that's what the Hebrew translation says. In the old translation, Talich HaMoves has said in. What do I mean, Talich HaMoves? When is a person alive? When is a person dead? So Ramashe Feinstein has a tshuva. He says, it should depend on a nevesh and a neshama kliyabo. It depends on vital organs. If the vital organs are dead, then the person is dead. What's the definition of dead? What's the definition of this? Ramash has another tshuva where he talks about that. Dead means when the blood is not circulating. when the blood is circulating, it's interesting, in the world of medicine, they didn't know about the circulation of blood till recently. And by us, it's a pasuk in Chumash, ki adam hu ha-nefesh, how does it say? Habobimachteres, someone is breaking into my house in order to do a burglary. So we assume Habobimachteres is probably armed and is probably prepared with a gun to shoot the balabas if the balabas will give him a hard time. So we treat him as Habobimachteres hashkim lahargoy. You're permitted to shoot the Baba Machteres. So the Pasuk has the lashon, Baba Machteres ain't lo domim. What do you mean, lo domim? Even though he has blood circulating in his circulatory system, we consider it as if his blood is not circulating. Ain't lo domim. But in Mizrach Hashem Mishalov, if it's klor v'detog, it doesn't mean if the sun is shining. Mizrach Hashem Mishalov, the Gemara says what it means, if it's Baruch Hashem Eshpatzo Harayim, it's the father is breaking in to steal from his son. The Gemara said, the son is breaking in to steal from the father. The son will sometimes kill his own father. But the father will never kill it. Rare, meshuggah. A normal father will never kill his own son. So if the father is above a machteris to make a burglary to steal from his son, we don't assume that the father is a roidif and abo lahorga chashkim lahorga. We say, domim lo. We say we treat the father who's Baba Machteres to rob his son as if his blood is circulating, because he's not Boalis Kenefashim. He's not prepared to kill the son. But the son will be prepared to kill the father. The parents have much more love for the children than the children have for the parents. That's a fact. And the Gemara in the first half in Psochem points that out, that the Dinim Baba Machteres like that. Oval Abein as opposed to Bein Al Ha'ov. So a lot of psukim like that. The psukim say when a person is alive, it's considered dom and low. We consider that his blood is circulating. When the blood, if you put a tourniquet and you stop the blood from circulating only temporarily, but it didn't permanently stop the circulation of the blood, then Ramosha shows from a Gemara in Chorus that organ is not considered dead. But if the blood circulation stopped permanently, and it's not going to be able to come back, the blood circulation supplies oxygen to all the different organs. So if you have enough Avon, if you have an Avish and a Shamakle, but the vital organs. So sometimes when one is holding by the end, so the vital organs go, means that the blood is not supplying sufficient amount of oxygen for the vital organs, so the vital organs are dead. It's if the blood is not circulating in an irreversible fashion, so that organ is dead. So if you have all a rave, maybe it's unclear how many of the vital organs. Well, one of the vital organs no longer has blood circulating, so that's called a gosis. Gosis means that talich hamavis has already begun. But a gosis is kechai v'chol dvar. He's not metame. Gosis is not metame. He's kechai. But the Gemara has a machlokes Abai v'Rav, is a Kohen and a Nozer, are they prohibited from coming in contact with the Goses? So it's a machlokes Abai v'Rav. Whenever there's a machlokes Abai v'Rav, we pass like Rav, except for the six cases, Yal Kigam. So here there are two gerses. Which way did Rav say? Rav said, L'hokalo l'hachmer. So the Mechaber follows the gerses of the Kisve Yad of the Sfardim. Rav Yosef Karo always followed the shittas of the Svarim. So Rabbi Yosef Kara followed the gear, said that Rav is the one who said his mutter. A kohen is permitted to go into oil ha-goises. He has to be careful. If he sees the goises is about to die, he has to run out. Okay? And the Ramah follows the psokim, the kisveyad of the Ashkenazim. The gear by the Ashkenazim was that the din is like Rav, and Rav says it's usur. It's prohibited for a kohen or a nazir to enter into a goila. So if you have a hospital, if you have an ear, nose, throat hospital, you're not going to have any ghosts in there. They're dealing with their sinus conditions or something. You're not going to have any ghosts. But if you have a real hospital where they have a cancer ward, so there's at least going to be one patient in the cancer ward who is a ghost. Some of the rabbonim have a different definition. They say that the definition of a ghost is one who is going to die within 3 days. I don't think that definition is correct at all. in Shulchan Aruch to have from the Gemara like that. Let's say a woman, a woman is an aguna. A husband is not around, and we don't know where the husband is. We don't know if the husband is alive or dead. And somebody says, I saw the husband was a goses last week. So the Gemara says, a goses is going to die within 3 days. So if he saw him last week, bivadai, he's dead already. But that's not the definition of a goses. I think that's incorrect. Some of the rabbans say that's the definition of goses. One is going to die within three days. And if it's more than 3 days already, then bivadai, he died. Today, they keep the patients alive artificially. They keep up their blood pressure, and they give them oxygen and everything. They put a trach in, and they give them nutrition. But it's still a goises. If it would have been a goises 100 years ago, they wouldn't have any of this shtick, this artificial keeping people alive. If he would have died within 3 days, then. But that's not the definition of a goises. Goises means one of the vital organs is no longer being supplied with blood. So one of the Ibrahim Shana Shamakliba and is dead already. That's the definition of death of an organ, when there's no blood being supplied to one of the organs in an irreversible fashion. That's from Moshe's definition. He has it straight from the Gemara in Bukharis. The two prokim in Bukharis, one parak of that, what's the definition of Balmum by Behema? You can't be makir Balmum on the Mizbeach. Then there's another parak, what's the definition of a Balmum by the Kohanim? That the Kohanim are not allowed to be makir Kabbanis with their Balmum. So the Gemara says if you have one of the organs is dead, if there's no longer blood circulating to that organ in an irreversible fashion, even though the person is still walking around, he's talking and everything, but one of the vital organs is dead already because the blood is no longer supplying oxygen to that organ. So if one organ is dead, that's called a bamum. It's like he's missing an organ. If the organ is just, let's say, a person had a stroke. That was a big machlekes in America 100 years ago. If a person had a stroke, the person is a righty, normally he puts tefillin on his left arm. Has a stroke, and the left arm doesn't function at all because of the stroke. So is the heir to the mitzvah of tefillin if he puts it on the left arm? Maybe it's considered as if the left arm is dead. So Moshe Feinstein says, no, he is heir to the mitzvah. As long as the blood is still circulating to the left arm is considered alive. Because of this Gemara in Bukharis. The Gemara says that's a definition of whether any organ is alive or dead, or whether the whole animal, whether the whole person is alive or dead. When the blood is no longer supplying all the vital organs with the oxygen that it needs, so then that organ that's not being supplied by blood, that organ is dead. Organ is dead, so that person or that animal is a bamum. But if it's just the nervous system, there's a stroke, the nervous system isn't functioning, but the blood is still circulating. So there, Moshe says the organ is alive, and the person can still be out in the mitzvah of tefillin, putting it on the organ that's where this nervous system is not working. How does he know that that's the din? So he writes because his father was machmer to sleep in sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. The Hasidim don't sit in sukkah at all on Shmini Atzeres. So his father was machmer to sit in sukkah even though it was freezing. And he got sick, and he got a stroke, and he ultimately died a couple of months later. So we were all surprised about that. But Moshe, because his father was Moshe Nefesh, to the extent he lost his life, because he slept in Sukkah when it was very cold, on Shmini Atzeres, Sarah Moshe would always be makpid to sleep in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. I would think the moral of the story is you don't sleep in the Sukkah if it's freezing. So Rav Moshe took the moral of the story was his father was makbid to sleep in sukkah even on Shmini Atzeres when it was very cold. So he would always sleep in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. He would tell his children and his grandchildren they don't have to. Al pidin it's mitzaris patam on sukkah. But because his father was so machmer, so he wanted to do the same thing. So he said his father had a stroke and he couldn't move his left arm, and he still continued to lick tefillin on the left arm. So that's how he knows that that's the din, because that's what his father did. How did his father know? So then Moshe shows that Gemara in Bukharis. And Gemara in Bukharis. And the yeshivas, whoever learns these boring to the two prokin But what's considered a balmum in a behemah, and what's considered a balmum in a human being? Usually you learn the lamdashit parts of b'cheres. We learned the first perek of b'cheres, the perek about pidyon haben and about b'cheres. Who learns these? These are the boring part, but it's nageh la'alocha. You have to know. Yeah, you have to know all these dinim. Okay, so that is a lot of dinim here. So the Gemara has it a few times that the tumah is going sideways. What if the tumah is going up vertically, not horizontally? So that was 2 days in the rush on the Shnayas. Okay, these are important halachas. Where do we leave off? Omazutra. We're about the 5 lines from the bottom. 5 lines from the bottom of Chavod and Beis and Gemara Midah. Om Mazitra, Mitbuchai Svarim Shebalu. I have mentaloch of Sifrei Torah, and they're all worn out. So what am I going to do with it? So it's Tashmishi Kedusha. The Sifrei Torah is Gufi Kedusha. The mental is Tashmishi Kedusha. The letters are falling off, and the cloth is tearing, and it's not covered as Sefer. So what are you going to do with it? So you should bury it. It's a Tom Geniza. Ignoza. Tashmisha Gedusha is Ignoza. So the Gemara said, what should you do with it? Mit Bechos Svarim, the mentalach of the Sifrei Torah Shebalu, they can't be used anymore. Osim Osim Tachrich Melemei, Slitzva Vizui Genizosa. You bury a human being with it. And that's the Kovadik Zui Genizosa. That's why they be Mechabed, the mentalach. What if you have a Sefer Torah that's all worn out? What do you do with that? So the Gemara says, the Amar of the Sefer Torah should bother. You have an old Sefer Torah, it's falling apart. It doesn't pay to get a Sefer to correct it. All the letters are missing. Everything is falling apart. What do? Bones Masa Eitz of Talmud Chacham. You bury it next to a Talmud Chacham. How great a Talmud Chacham does he have to be? The Gemara, I feel the Shaina Halachas. Even if he's not, Rashi says, if it is not the biggest Talmud Chacham, he doesn't know Gemara, he just knows Mishnayos. Says, you know, if he's a Talmud Chacham who died, that all the big Talmud Chacham are dying. If you have a Talmud Chacham who doesn't learn Gemara, just knows how to learn Mishnayos. That's the Genuk Kovid for the Sefer Torah. So he buried the Sefer Torah. The mentalif and the Sefer Torah you can use to make Tachrichem for the Mace, the Gemara says. And then you should bury the Sefer Torah next to the Talmud Chacham. What do you mean? In the Oren? In the same Oren with the Talmud Chacham? So the Gemara says, no. Omar Abach Bayanka, Ubi Klicheres. You should put the Sefer Torah in a Klicheres to protect it, that it shouldn't get ruined. You're going to bury a Sefer Torah so the ants and the mice are going to come and eat everything up. It's going to be destroyed. So you shouldn't put the Sefer Torah mamish in the ground. You should put it in a klicheres, which will delay the ruining of the Sefer Torah a couple of weeks, but take a little longer till it gets ruined. Based on the pasuk in Girmiah that says, "In the satam lichlicheres man yamda yomim rabim." That's the haftar of Hishabes Bahar, I think, or Bechukosai, that Yirmiyah HaNavi was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu he should buy his cousin Hanamel Ben Dodo. His cousin had a house in Anasos, and the whole country, Eretz Yisrael, is going to be taken over by the Babylonian soldiers. The whole country is about to collapse, and everyone is going to be sent into Golas, and his cousin needs money, so the cousin is going to come to Yirmiyah, "Will you do me a favor and buy my farm?" So the farm is worthless now. The whole country is going to collapse in the hands of the everyone's going to be sent into Golas bubble for 70 years. So the Rebbe Shalom tells Yirmiyah, "When your cousin comes, buy the field and pay him the money, and write 2 shtaris, Sefer Goli, a shtar is a sefer, Sefer Goli and a Sefer Chosim. A get pashut and a get mekushi. Get pashut, where a get means a shtar, not a get isha. A get means it's a get pashut, is the name of the perik and the end of Barbasa. So a get pashut is a shtar, where everything is written on one side of the page and the signatures are on the bottom. And a get mekushi, when you write a few lines, then you fold it over and you stitch it, you have somebody's sign on the back. Then you write another few lines, you fold it over, and you stitch it, and you have another eight sign on the back. You get mekusher, kach tikna chacham. You get mekusher, you have to have a minimum of three eidim sign on the back. So Yirmiyahu Navi is told, you'll be a simon for the rest of Klal Yisrael. They shouldn't give up hope of returning back to Eretz Yisrael. It's only going to be a golus bavel for 70 years. And at the end of the 70 years, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren will come back to Eretz Yisrael, and they will reclaim this farm in Anasos that you're buying from your cousin. So make sure that you put the two shtores, you get Poshet and you get Mekushar, put it in a satam, Vichli Cheres, put the both shtores, and you can Cheres Aman Yamli Amim Rabin, the two shtores you list, till the end of the 7 years of Golus Bavel, Afasim Lebanecha, that Bnei Yisrael Arol, the simon for the whole Klal Yisrael. Everyone's going to come back to Eretz Yisrael after 7 years of Golus Bavel, and whoever has a shtar will get their ownership of their farm back. So just like there, the pasuk says you should place the two shtaris in the satom in the plural. You should place the get poshet and the get mekusher. And the kolcheres that it should last longer here also. You have a sefer Torah shabala. You don't bury it in the ground. You bury it in the ground. The shrotzim will eat it up right away. Put it in the kolcheres, so it'll delay the ruining of the sefer Torah for a couple of weeks, and then it'll be eaten up by the mice, eaten up by the ants, and that's the kavodik away. That's called tashmish kedusha migdazim. That's how you do the gemiza. Then the Gemara has an interesting machlokes. We have a din manu makodesh v'lo marid. The Gemara is going to have more in the next daf about manu makodesh v'lo marid. If something has a level of kedusha, you're allowed to use it to elevate it to a higher level of Kedusha, but you're not allowed to lower it to a lower level of Kedusha. So take, for example, we mentioned if you have a Shal Rosh, you're not allowed to convert it to make it into a Shal Yad. But if you have a Shal Yad, you are permitted to convert it to make a Shal Rosh, because the Shal Rosh has a slightly higher level of Kedusha than the Shal Yad. Why? Because the Shal Yad only has the Dalet Parsha, Shema Yom Shemaya, Kadesh Vayokiv Yachad. The Shal Rosh, in addition to the Dalet Parshas, has the two shins on the outside. So because it has one or two letters more, the Gemara talks about one shin. We have two shins based on the Zohar. So because it has two letters more, more Divrei Torah written, that's why it has more Kedusha. Tefillin have more Kedusha than Mezuzah. The Mezuzah only has Shema V'Yayim Shema. Tefillin have Kadesh Vayokiv Yachad, in addition to Shema V'Yayim Shema. So Tefillin have more Kedusha. The Sefer Torah has more Kedusha than the Tefillin. The Sefer Torah has many more Parshas than the Dalet Parshas. Depending on what level of Kedusha, it depends how many Pesukim you have. So the Gemara has a Machloikis on Maroyim. Who are the two Maroyim? Rapapi and Rapapa. Two Maroyim, Rapapi and Rapapa. Which has a higher level of Kedusha? A Beis HaKnesses where people daven, or the Beis HaMedrash where people learn? So the Gemara has a machloikis, and the Gemara says on the top of the next Da'at Chav Zayin, Gabbos is Rapapi, Mr. Rapapi is right. Why? Because Rabbi Shua ben Levi disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds that a shul has a higher level of Kedusha, and Rabbi Shua ben Levi holds that a Beis HaMedrash has a higher level of Kedusha. The Gemara says, Gabbos is Rapapi, Mr. because Rabbi Shua ben Levi says like that. So the top place says, but Rabbi Yochanan says, forget from Rabbi Shlomo Malevi. It's a machlokes. So you see from this Gemara that whenever it seems for Dover Poshet, the Gemara's premise is, whenever there's a dispute between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlomo Malevi, we assume Rabbi Shlomo Malevi is correct. So since Rabbi Shlomo Malevi is of the opinion that a shul has the lower level of Beis HaMedrash, has a higher level, shul has the lower level, so you're permitted to convert a shul to make a yeshiva out of it, but you're not allowed to convert a yeshiva into a shul. That'll be a violation of Marid. Yeah. And Bas Pashtet and Machlekes, what are they fighting about? Whether the shul has a higher level of Kedusha, or the Beis HaMedrash has a higher level. So the Gemara quotes Psukim from Melochim Beis, Sefer Melochim, that at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, they destroyed the king's palace, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Beis Hashem. Called Beis God Sarah Beish. Beis Hashem is the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Beis HaMelech is the palace of the king. and then they destroyed all the private homes in Yerushalayim. And it says Kol Abayis HaGadol. What does it mean Abayis HaGadol? What is that referring to? So Bishulam Alevi holds Abayis HaGadol Abayis HaMagdilim Bo Torah Abayis HaMedrash, where they say Chidush HaTorah. And Rabbi Yechanan holds not Abayis HaGadol Abayis HaMagdilim Bo Tefillah. So that sounds like the Babli presents it, that the Machlokes of Yechanan and Bishulam Alevi, which has the higher level of Kedusha, the Shul, which is Miyuchin for davening, or the Beis HaMedrash, which is Miyuchin for learning. Abayis HaGadol means Shemagdilim by Torah or Magdilim by Tefillah. There is a Tosfos in Nozir and Av Chav Gimel on the base, an innocent little Tosfos, but Tosfos seems to have a different reading in the Gemara. Tosfos there says, the Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses stems from the fact that you have an Aron Kodesh in the Shul with the Sefer Torah. And the Kedusha's Beis HaMedrash stems from the fact that the learning Torah Shebal Peh. So Tosfos presented. Tosfos doesn't say they're talking about our Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlomo Halevi, which has the higher level of Kedusha. But you get that impression as if they're commenting on our Gemara. So the Shaila is, which has the higher level of Kedusha, Torah Shebichsav or Torah Shebal Peh? Because the Kedusha's Beis HaMedrash is because Miyuchad Falima Torah Shebal Peh. They learn Mishnayos and they learn Gemara. That's all Torah Shebal Peh. And the Beis HaKnesses, the Kedusha rests on the fact that you have an Aron Kodesh with a Sefer Torah. That's Torah Shebichsav. The Tosfos sounds like that was the Machlokes, which has the higher level of Kedusha, Torah Shebichsav or Torah Shebal Peh. I wanted to say over a comment on Sukkim and Parsha Shmini. In the parasha, the second half of the parasha has all about the kosher animals and the not kosher animals. Zalachem Atomei, it has about, in order to establish that a fish is kosher, has to have fins and scales. In order to establish that an animal is kosher, has to have malagera and mafis parasa. So Rashi comments, Rashi is always quoting Gemaras. So Rashi is quoting a Gemara. Vizalachem, whenever it says there, like Achoyrish Hazalachem, so the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron. He showed him the Levana. He said, when Zeh refers to something you can point to, you can demonstrate. So Zeh Lechem Atamei, Moshe Rabbeinu picked up the animal and he said, this is a kosher animal, this is a treif animal, this is a kosher fish, that's a treif fish, and so on. Zeh Maisa Menorah also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe was Niskasha B'Maisa Menorah. The Baruch Shalom said, Zeh Maisa Menorah. He showed him what the menorah has to look at. And also, the Gemara says, so what was the significance of showing? Why do we have to demonstrate? Or the Gemara says that the Risa Sachora, Yafonah Le'iro, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu the Kesher Shel Tefillin. The Gemara says he saw an image of the Baruch Shalom wearing tefillin. The Gemara in Brocha is in the beginning of Brocha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin, not to be taken literally, it doesn't have a body, but the Mara HaNevuah, Moshe Rabbeinu saw a vision of the Baruch Hu wearing tefillin. Where he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll let you see from behind, that's the Kesher Shel Rosh. So what was the significance of showing the Kesher Shel Rosh, and showing the Levana, and showing the Zelach and Matomi? So, there is a Gemara, where the Gemara says, there are some non-kosher animals that if you eat it, you get four times malchus. Sometimes you eat nemala leka chamish, you eat an ant, you get five times malchus, and tzira leka shesh. If you eat another kind of an insect, you get six times malchus. What are all these malchus all about? So most of the ge'onim and the rishonim all learn one pshat, and the Rambam has a totally different pshat. Most of the rishonim and the ge'onim say, if the Pasuk says several times, don't eat a sheretz hamayim, don't eat a non-kosher fish. If it says five times, you get five times malchus. That's called kefal alav. The alav is repeated a few times. Tosfos has a kasha on the first daf in Temura, and the first daf in Chulin. If a person violates Temura, why does he only get once malchus? He should get twice malchus, because he violated two lavim. Lo yaklifenu, velo yamaroso. How come he doesn't get twice malchus? Tosfos works on that kasha. The Rambam says in Ishkin Kasha, the Rambam holds that when you have a kefal alav, you only get once malchus. It only counts in the minyan and mitzvahs once. It doesn't count twice. So how does the Rambam come off with this? How does Rambam quote this Gemara? Oh, putisa laka arba. Either a non-kosher fish, you get four times malchus. The mala laka chamish tzira laka. How come you get so many times malchus? But the Rambam disagrees with all the others. He doesn't hold from kefal alav getting many times malchus. The Rambam says if it's a non-kosher bird that flies, then there's malchus. If it's a non-kosher fish that swims, there's a malchus. If it's a non-kosher sheretz ha'aretz that crawls on the ground, then there's one malchus. If it flies and it swims and it crawls on the ground, then you get three times malchus. So the Ravid makes fun of the Rambam. He calls him the collector. The Rambam did a major job. He collected all the Gemaras, the Bavlis, and Yerushalmis, and the Toseftas, and the Tshuva Sargonim. Collected everything. So the Ravid makes fun. He says, Hama'aseif hazeh, in the beginning of Hilchas Macholas Hasurus and the Rambam, Hama'aseif hazeh, osav dvarim she'enu. The Rambam collected animals that don't exist. There's no such animal that it swims and it crawls on the ground and it flies in the air. There's an animal that looks like that. Yeah, it conveys a mistaken impression. But it doesn't really do all three. So what's the machlokes, the Rambam and the Rambam, whether such an animal exists or not? So that when I was a Talmud in the yeshiva, there were three rabbeim who had learned Baradolvola, that's all of Achik in Europe. So one was Rabbi Hanoch Fishman, he died very young, and one was Rabbi Gerelik, Rabbi Yochum Gerelik, and one was Rabbi Nach Bornstein. So remember, I was by Rabbi Yochum Gerelik. He used to say over a lot of things from Rabbi Elvala, on the Parsha, on the Haggadah, not too much on the Gemara, but different Torah. So he said over on this, the Ravid's Kasha is that biologically, either it's a bird, or it's a fish, it's a sea animal, or it's a dry land animal. Biologically, you have to make up your mind. It looks like it flies and it swims and it crawls, but it's not really. Biologically, either it's a sheretz hamayim, or a sheretz ha'oif, or a sheretz ha'aretz. So that was the Ravid's time. How can you say you like it three times because it flies and it swims and it crawls on the ground? It's all three, but biologically, it's only one of the three. And the Rambam holds that's why Moshe Rabbeinu picked up the animal. He showed the mezelach hamatami. It depends what it looks like. It doesn't depend on what it really is. It depends what it looks like. And that's where Rav Elvala has that. He doesn't have printed in the Sefer, but in the Sefer on Hilchas Tfilin, he has this. There is a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos regarding the kesher shel Tfilin. The Gemara says kesher shel Tfilin halacha Moshe Mesinai, that you need a kesher on the shel yad and a kesher on the shel rosh. So Rashi's opinion is that you have to have a shin on the Bayis Shal Rosh on the outside, then you have to have the Dalid on the Kesher Shal Rosh and the Yud on the Kesher Shal Yad. That spells out Shem Hashem, shin and a Dalid and a Yud. And the Gemara says, "For all Kalami hearts, Kishem Hashem Nikra Lach V'Yoru Memekel." When the Nochem will see that we're wearing Tefillin Shal Rosh, the Yoru Memekel, they'll be afraid to start up with us. That's why the last Lubavitcher Rebbe had a mitzvah tefillin. He wanted to get all the soldiers in the Israeli army to wear tefillin, so the goyim will be afraid to start up with them. Based on that, Maimon Chazal. So why is tefillin sheberosh? The Rebbe said because tefillin sheberosh have two out of the three letters. It has the shin on the bayis shel rosh and it has the dalet. So it has roiv, the two out of the three letters of the Shem Hashem. So that's why Shem Hashem nikra lecha, the roiv of the Shem Hashem is there. The Rabbi Natam argues, Tosis argues with Rashi, because there's a Gemara in Bamam Avlikin, where the Gemara says, the Toshim, Oris Toshim, Batsei Shittim, the Tachash was an animal that no longer existed in the days of the Tanoim, in the days of the Gemara. But the Gemara says, we have a tradition that it must have been a kosher animal, it must have been Malager Mafis Parsa. Why? Because we have Allah on Moshe Mesinai, La Uchshiru, La Malach Hashamayim, La Or Behem Etor Bozvaz. If Kachash would have been a non-kosher animal, we wouldn't have been allowed, we wouldn't be permitted to use it, or is Toshim for the Mishkan. So it must have been La Uchshiru, La Malach Hashamayim, La Or Behem Etor Bozvaz. Must be the Tachash as a kosher animal. If you like the Gemara, why do you need this halacha Moshe Mesina Gemiri? Why do you need halacha Moshe Mesina? Isn't it a pasuk? The pasuk says, "Man teotar Hashem beficha, and amuta beficha." You can only write parshios. You can only write parshios on parchment from a kosher animal. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's if you're writing parshios, or that's if you have the shin on the Bayish al Rosh, you have a nice shin. But for the Ritzuas, there are no osios. Torah Hashem, if you're writing Divrei Torah, the shin on the Bayish al Rosh, or the parshios, Shema lo yam shema kadesh v'yal kibiyach, the parshios have to be on hide from a kosher animal, on parchment that was made from hide from a kosher animal. But the Ritzuas don't have any osios from Chumash. So the Ritzuas, you need Allah al Moshe Mitzvah, the Hukshul, the Malach HaShamayim. So Tosfos asks on Rashi, if Rashi says that the Shin and the Dalet and the Yud, everything is Halach al Moshe Mitzvah, so just like the Shin is an Ois, so you have to have Or Behemot Torah, so the Dalet and the Yud on the Ritzuas also have to be Or Behemot Torah. So the Tosfos proves from that Gemara and Bamem Adlikin that Kesha shall fill Halach al Moshe Mitzvah, but I tell you, you don't need a Dalet, you don't need a Yud. Just need it should be a Kesha shall Kayoma. If you make a, the Gemara says, if you make an aniva, there's a machlokes hatanan where the aniva is called the kesher shel kayama on Shabbos or not. We paskin it's not called kesher shel kayama. The Gemara says just like on Shabbos and not a kesher shel kayama, it wouldn't be kosher for tefillin. For tefillin has to be kesher shel kayama. But the fact that there should be betzuras dalet or betzuras yud, that's only midirabbanan. That's what the Tosfos says. If the dalet and the yud, if the dalet and yud would be a din deraisa, Allah al Moshe Messina, then of course it has to be a kosher. It has to be high. The Ritzuas that have the Dalin Yud will have to be from kosher animal because of the din of Torah Hashem Bificha, just like the Shin on the Bayish al Rosh has to be the leather that you use to make a Bayish al Rosh has to be from kosher animal because the leather Shin is Divrei Torah. So the leather Dalin leather Yud should also be. So Adavul Asalavetchik has in his safe on the Rambam. How the Rambam holds like Rashi that the Dalet and the Yud is a din deraisa. So how can it be? What about the Rabbeinu Tam's Kasha? Now remember when we learned Hilchas Tefillin, Rav Soloveitchik said the same answer, where Rav Dovid Soloveitchik added a little more. So Rav Dovid said, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu show Moshe Rabbeinu? Where he says HaChorai, that refers to the Kesher Shel Rosh. He says, because it doesn't depend what it is, it depends what it looks like. Whenever the Rabbeinu Shalom showed something to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu showed it to Bnei Yisrael, it didn't depend on what it looks like. So it's a kesher, the Rambam writes, Betzuras Dalet, and a kesher Betzuras Yud. The shin on the Bayish HaRosh is a letter shin. But the Dalet and the Yud is a kesher Betzuras Dalet, and a kesher Betzuras Yud. So that's why the Rabbeinu Shalom showed it to Moshe Rabbeinu, because it's a din that depends on what it looks like. And then Rav Dovala has about the menorah also. Why was it so difficult for Moshe Rabbeinu to make a menorah? The Chashmonai made a menorah. So why was it so difficult for Moshe Rabbeinu? So the answer is, well, the Chashmonai saw a menorah for many years. But what the Rabbeinu Shalom showed Moshe Rabbeinu, Kamara Shaharesa Bahar, he showed him a tzura of what the menorah should look like. So he knew what it's supposed to look like. So why was it so difficult? So that's what Rav Dovala has in his Sefer HaChumash. The Rabbeinu Shalom showed him the menorah Shalesh, and he said, it has to be, Kamara has to be, it's not enough, it has so many Gviim, Kaftorim, and so on. It has to look like the Tzura that he saw when he was on Har Sinai. It has to look like that. So by the Chashmonaim, it didn't have to look exactly like that. As long as it has so many Gviim, it's on a Kaftorim. And Mishukadim, so it's good. But there was a Hirasha in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Benar has to look Kamareh, Shaharei Sebehar. That was too difficult for him. Moshe Rabbeinu threw it into the fire, and then the menorah came out by itself, miraculously. Rav Dovala has such a comment on all of the cases, the Gemara Menachos. Mark has all the cases where HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu showed Bnei Yisrael. So he explains on each din, it's a din, it depends what it looks like. It doesn't depend what it actually is, it depends what it looks like. About why he showed him the Levana also. HaKadosh Azal Lachem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shad Moshe Rabbeinu de Levana. There's a comment on that also. Why do they have to show him? It depends what it looks like. It doesn't depend what it really is. Okay. Glinetta next week. We'll see. Either we'll learn in Yoni Pesach, or we'll continue in Megillah. Then the next week we'll learn in Yoni Pesach. Okay. We'll see what the people are interested in. You want to have 2 weeks of Pesach or 1 week of Pesach?
Let's say two.
Okay. You let me know what the right is. Okay.
Like Rebbe, when you wind the shol yad on the yad, so you form a shin on the back of the hand. Correct?
It's an egg, yeah.
Yeah, so that has nothing to do with the Shakai letters, though. That no significance.
Some make a shin, and then a dalet, and then a yud. Then the dalet, they put a ritzua on the two fingers, and then they have a yud over here. So the shaloh is opposed to that. Shaloh writes, when you take off the tunis, mechika sasha. It makes the shin dalet yud. Okay, umre, not mechika hashem, because it. But that's the recommendation of Shaloh, not to do like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also, I think they're clear last week. So the Ritzuis are Gufa Kedusha or Tashmishay Kedusha, the Ritzuis?
The Ritzuis, Chaim has in a safe on the Rambam that the Din has three parts. You have the Parshias, the Batim, and the Ritzuis. The Bataris Kedusha's Tfilin, it's Gufa Kedusha. It's Gufi Kedusha. But it's a Tashmishi Kedusha to the Parshias. It's Mishamish to Parshias. So it's both Gufi Kedusha and Tashmishi Kedusha. And sometimes it's better to be only Tashmishi Kedusha. That's a Shita that we didn't talk about. Maybe we'll talk about it. We had the Gemara mentioned a little bit about Hazmana Nilsa, Hazmana Lav Nilsa. So in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes an opinion from the days of the Goenim. Rav Acha, it's not in the Gemara, it's one of the Goyim, that by Gufi Kedusha you say Hasmana Milsahi. And there are those who hold just the opposite. By Gufi Kedusha you don't say it. Balama holds just the opposite. By Gufi Kedusha nobody holds Hasmana Milsa, only by Mishamshe Kedusha. Someone died and I bought Tachrichim, I already called them Mishamshe Hameis, because I planned to put them on the Meis. If I have a Sefer Torah and I buy a mental, even if I didn't put the mental on the Sefer Torah, if you all like a buy, Hazmana Milsi, it's already called Mishamshe Tashmishe Kedusha, because I plan to designate it. I plan to use it to cover the Sefer Torah. I plan to use these Tachrichim to bury the Meis, it's already called Tashmishe HaMeis. But if a person didn't die yet, he's a Goyseis. You don't say he's already Asa Ba'anoa because Al-Shem Ha'asid. And the Gufi Kedusha, if you don't have the Gufi Kedusha, you don't say Hazmana Milsa, only on Tashmishi Kedusha. So that's what Rav Chaim explains. It's really the Baal HaMoor has like that. That if the Ritzuas would only be Gufi Kedusha, then you wouldn't have said Hazmana Milsa. But because the Ritzuas are Mishamshim to the Parshios, so in addition to being Gufi Kedusha with the Torah's Tefillin, is Tashmishi Kedusha, is Mishamish, the Parshios. So there it's shocked to say, if I have Ritzuas, even I didn't wear them yet. I didn't wear the Tefillin yet, but I plan to use these Ritzuas together with the Parshios. So according to Abai, you would say, we don't pass on like Abai. According to Abai, you would say, Hazmana Milsi. On a Tashmishi Kedusha, on the Gufi Kedusha, no one would say, Hazmana Milsi. The opposite from the Rabbeinach. Maybe we'll talk about it next week. Okay. We'll see.
I was once told that when you wind the tefillin on the shol yad, so Shabru says you do kanfiyona,
right?
But he says Siddur Shrof once told me that it would be better to wind it only on the side which is opposite the yud, because the yud is gufa kedusha, the rest of it's sur, which is tashmisha kedusha. Is that correct?
The yud is a nice. The question is it a nice or it's a keshet b'tzuras nice?
So he said it's better not to wind the tefillin on that ice.
Right.
So you should do it on the other side entirely.
Yeah. And probably the Magen Avraham, I think, says that.
Yeah.
When you wind the ritzuis, you shouldn't wind on both sides of the bias shal yad, because then you'll be the same thing shal rosh. You shouldn't wind the ritzuis on top of the dalet. You should avoid winding on top of the dalet, because the rest of the ritzuis are a lower level of kedusha than the ois yud. And the ois yud. That's correct. Yeah.
Thank you.
Can we ever think about if we wrap the tune of the shorosh incorrectly, it's not going to sit correctly? Meaning, if you don't wrap it directly over the kesher of the dalet, so that it doesn't sit correctly on the head. The indentations of the leather, it won't sit as well.
If you didn't do what?
If you don't wrap it over the dollar, meaning when you try to not wrap it over the dollar, sometimes it impacts the way it lays. That was really? What the price that King Kambiyavna, when it was suggested to him, he said, I'm more afraid that it's not going to sit on your head correctly.
Many people are makpid not to wrap the ritzuas on top of the dalad, and it sits well. Sits well enough. I'm not familiar. Don't know. Okay. Good. We'll meet again next week. Should all be healthy. It's our session.
Shikayach. Good night.